I love art, and I think it's such a free range of expression, and you can do whatever you want within that space. It just gives you that freedom, that space to be whatever you want, however you want,
yes,
wear whatever you want. I love experimenting with fashion. I love fusing things together. It's more of a dare for me. I'm a very adventurous person. As far as I could remember, fashion has always been my defense mechanism. Even as a child, I remember thinking, she could beat me, but she cannot beat my outfit.
Hi, this is Charisse Kenyon, and you're listening to the Beauty Me podcast, all about beauty beyond the BS. This episode is a real deep dive, so maybe go and get your tea, your coffee, or depending on what time of the day it is, champagne, whiskey, whatever, because it's going to be a long one, because I'm talking about the new Rihanna cover for the spring issue of Interview magazine. Part of me wants to apologize that this is the third episode that I'm doing around covers, but at the same time, those two other episodes have done really well. So thank you to everyone that listened, but also I just think it's necessary to talk about this one just to kind of provide some balance. I'm seeing myself as this person that can give some balance around the story. And also, if you haven't seen it or if you haven't had time to delve into it, just see this as your guide to the very latest Rihanna cover. So it's a cover that's upset a lot of her fans because she's not looking as pretty as they used to. And it's also upset others for the religious connotations we see when it comes to the clothes that Rihanna's wearing. So how the episode breaks down is, first, I will look extensively at Rihanna's history as a risk taker when it comes to fashion, before going on to briefly discuss Interview magazine's own history as a kind of publication that doesn't really do safe / squeaky clean content. Then I'll break down the cover, including the team and the image that inspired the look. Then we'll look at the backlash, and I'm also briefly going to share on the woman who first really rattled religious groups, and that can only be Madonna. At the beginning of the show, you heard some sound bites from Rihanna herself, because I really wanted to start off by reminding us all that Rihanna has long been one of those celebrities that's quite brave in her style choices. Although she hasn't released a new album since 2016's Anti, and guys, if you're one of the ones that's constantly posting on her Instagram asking her for new music, I really think it's not happening, because even she herself said that Anti was her best piece of work, so why would she bring out anything after that? But anyway, Rihanna has been in the public eye since the age of 17, when she released her first album, Music of the Sun, in 2005. When she first arrived, she wasn't seen as a fashion icon at all, but I think we first saw her at least setting trends when she released her Loud album in 2010. It was this album that saw Rihanna adopt that fire engine red hair that went on to become known as Rihanna Red. She absolutely inspired so many women of color to dye their hair red, like this very, very red shade, not that kind of copper orangey red. And she also inspired people to play with red wigs. I feel like up until that album, she was very much finding her way. She was always looking sexy and pretty, always. But gradually, she began to find this edge. I think we definitely saw glimpses of that edge in the promo ahead of the album that preceded Loud, which was rated R. Even that title to me says she was kind of trying to show us that she was growing and becoming more mature. She was hinting that she was becoming more knowledgeable about her sexuality. But the fact that she had to announce it kind of really showed us that she was still not quite there. Today, Rihanna is someone who doesn't have to announce anything. She just does it. As the final few albums arrived, that edge became more hard, sharp, and intense. And it was around this time in 2011 that she began working with stylist Mel Ottenberg, a fashion director who is the current editor-in-chief of Interview magazine and also styled the Rihanna cover story that we're talking about today. I said in a recent episode that I think the relationship between stylist and celebrity client has to be one of trust. just like Zendaya and Laura Roach, or Björk and her long-term friend and stylist Edda Gudmundsdottir. Trust encourages the client to take chances. And then I think there's also a confidence which is needed to wear that item that's completely different to what anyone else might choose. Some celebrities are known for a look and others are known for looks. And I think Rihanna is the latter. With 2012's Unapologetic, perhaps my favourite Rihanna album, she started shaving one side of her head for this flipped out kind of mullet style. And that in particular is a style that does not suit everyone. Then with the final album, Anti, she began this huge world tour that saw her working really closely with Mel Ottenberg. And when it came to the beauty moments, we saw her wearing these black or grey lipsticks. She was wearing bantu knots, lots of black and white or dark browns and nudes. And it felt like she was really maturing that edge that she'd been developing. While Rihanna hasn't been kept busy making music since 2016, aside from 3 songs for film releases, and I think it's 9 features on songs with the likes of Kendrick Lamar, Kanye West, and DJ Khaled, I think instead, during that period, she's put time into playing to her strengths. I think she has always felt that she's destined to be an icon. And while she may have got her start in music, I think she knows there's more value, more money, and more impact elsewhere, particularly as she is the founder of Fenty Beauty, which had a value of $2.8 billion last year. And of course, she launched Savage X Fenty in 2018, an underwear brand that she had a 30% share in that absolutely wiped the floor with the existing beauty standards that had been forced upon us by institutions like the Victoria's Secret show. Victoria's Secret was known for literal supermodels strutting down the catwalk, showing off their perky boobs and super long and bronzed legs. The Savage X Fenty shows became highly anticipated because they were the example of what true inclusion meant. So while it still featured perky boobs and long legs, we also saw models with prosthetic limbs, actual plus size models that weren't just a size 14, and we saw trans models. These shows, plus Fenty Beauty, demanded that the world paid more attention to Rihanna. I believe it's her fashion sense that's another area where she also commands attention. I feel that she's the one who can do fashion because she has style. Does that make sense? Like, you can have all the fashion items in front of you. You can have the latest collections at your beck and call. You can have the best stylist. But if you haven't got style, it just looks like you're wearing something, you know? It's like, it's not part of you. I feel Rihanna knows what she likes. She knows what looks good on her. She's not scared to play with how she looks. And just because she thinks something looks good, she's not necessarily going to believe that everybody else thinks so. I don't think she cares. I don't think she's here to be pretty for us. I think she's here to make magic. And I think that a lot of that magic comes when she's working with Mel Ottenberg. For instance, if we had to compare Rihanna to Beyoncé, which of course many of us do and have done since seeing this interview photo shoot, by the way, I've seen plenty of comments that simply say Rihanna over Beyoncé any day, or words to that effect. And I do get what they mean. I think Beyoncé is always going to be sexy. Like, if Beyoncé ends up doing Vegas in her 70s, she's going to be doing that showbiz sexy. Don't get me wrong, you can see Beyoncé wearing a grill, for instance. A grill is, you know, when you have the teeth that are made of gold or platinum and they might have diamonds in them. You know, we've seen Beyoncé wearing grills, I think since 2019, but it's always in that pretty girl way. I can't see Beyoncé wearing a grill that makes her look like the Bond villain Jaws, complete with bleach eyebrows, glossy eyelids, red eyeshadow, and a wig that makes her look like an extra from the Addams Family. Beyoncé is not going to do that. By the way, I'm going to share a link to a blog that has all the imagery that I'm mentioning today, so you'll have some kind of visual support, because obviously I'm throwing a lot of references at you and I really want you to see what I'm talking about. But yeah, I just think that's the difference between fashion and style. Or like I said earlier, I feel Beyoncé's got a look, Rihanna has looks. But let me know what you think. The DMs are always open. You can find me at Beauty Me Podcast. Let me know what you think. I just drew up Rihanna against Beyonce because I feel like it's one of the easiest comparisons, and I think you know what I mean. Let's also not forget that Rihanna won the CFDA, which is the Council of Fashion Design for America, the Style Icon Award in 2014, and accepted it wearing a completely sheer crystal dress, which was custom designed by Adam Selman, who was at the time the partner of Mel Ottenberg. Rihanna is also the woman who is often referred to as the Queen of the Met Gala. In 2017, she wore a stunning Comme des Garçons look, which was all about celebrating art. Again, definitely check out the blog link that I'm going to leave you because I need you to remember this one. It's like this really sculptural, floral design, pinks and reds and blues. And again, I don't think Rihanna was fussed about looking pretty or perfect or feeling comfortable. It was a look. And especially with this look, her makeup was so stunning. It was this really intense deep pink slash purple blush that came right up and over her eyes. And her hair was this beautiful choppy top knot that had a fringe that came right down over her eyebrows. It's just gorgeous. I think I tried the look at the time. Then in 2018, she made Met Gala waves once again. She was invited to be co-chair by Anna Wintour, and she arrived in a look designed by John Galliano that was perfectly attuned to the theme of heavenly bodies, fashion, and the Catholic imagination. I feel that outfit, she really looked like a female version of the Pope. And the fact that the Met Gala chose, you know, that theme, fashion and the Catholic imagination, again, it's telling you fashion has always had a relationship with religion. It might not always be your preferred interpretation, but interpretation is the word. I feel people interpret fashion the way they see fit. And a lot of religious groups interpret their religion in whatever way they see fit, but more on that later. As we've actually made it to 2018, I think it's important to point out that this was the last year that Rihanna was working extensively with Mel Ottenberg. And that point is the perfect segue at some point into the cover of the spring issue of Interview magazine, because it's this cover that marks the first time since 2018 that Mel and Rihanna have worked together. However, before we get into the cover, I do want to look at the history of Interview magazine itself, because I feel like a lot of people are seeing this cover and they've never heard of Interview magazine before, and they're just instantly reacting to the image that they're seeing. Interview magazine was co-founded in 1969 by the often controversial and perhaps the most well-known artist ever, Andy Warhol. His co-founder was a British journalist, John Wilcock, but Warhol was the star attraction. If you don't know who Warhol is, he definitely stood out for his own signature style when it came to how he looked. He had this really straight white blonde hair. Sometimes it looked like he'd had an electric shock. It'd be sticking up everywhere. Other times it was kind of swept over, but it was very fake. And he almost always wore sunglasses at any time of the day, indoors or outdoors. But more importantly, there was the art that he created. Warhol was absolutely fascinated by pop culture. I think if he was around today, he would love TikTok, Instagram. I think he'd be on it constantly. He was fascinated. And his artwork covered everything from something as simple as a can of soup to the images of icons such as Elizabeth Taylor and Dolly Parton. As a young boy growing up in Pittsburgh, Warhol was fascinated by beautiful people, fame, celebrity, and Hollywood, and would often collect autographs from film stars. When he moved to New York in 1949, Warhol's illustration work was in high demand from glossy magazines such as Vogue and Harper's Bazaar. And later on, in the 60s, he became known for his silk prints of celebrities. And when Marilyn Monroe died in 1962, he created one of his most iconic and recognized art pieces ever, the Marilyn Diptych. Again, I'll definitely share images of this and everything else I mentioned over in my blog. I'll leave a link in the show notes for you, or you can head straight to charisskenyon.co. Warhol was also the man who coined the phrase famous for 15 minutes. He said that in the future, everyone would be world famous for 15 minutes. And I think he's kind of right, because as I mentioned just a second ago, I think he would love social media. And it's that platform that has absolutely become a tool to make anyone famous, even if it is just for 15 minutes, even if it's for something that they later regret. I think it would be fascinating for Warhol to not only see what social media does, but also see who the famous people are in 2024. And of course, I think it would be great for him to see how his magazine interview has kind of become infamous for playing with those celebrity images today. While Interview magazine has had its ups and downs, including management changes and that one time it filed for bankruptcy in 2018, its style has changed from the beautifully illustrated photographic pieces of art that were shown on the covers of many of the issues in the 80s and onwards. But I feel like it's doing better than ever, and it still fits its treasured nickname as the crystal ball of pop. I've actually got a few old school copies of Interview, and the way they approached their covers was quite an involved process. They would develop a negative and then an artist would work over the image to create these just beautiful illustrations. So many. If you ever have time, definitely Google Interview magazine covers from the 80s and onwards. They're just real pieces of art. And I think the magazine over time is still about art. But as with many forms of art, art has become more provocative. And I also think that's partly our fault as an audience. We have become desensitized. So now that little crystal ball of pop isn't just about glamour. It's now influenced by reality stars who have sex tapes and clothing lines. So I don't think it's always the part of society that churns out imagery or movies or music. I don't always think it's their fault. We're the audience. Do we not dictate what is being created? That's why I always have a hard time when I see such harsh criticism of something that is art, because I feel like it's a reflection of us. Anyway, one thing that I've personally always admired as a reader and as a journalist is that Interview magazine, it just seems to follow less rules than other more safe publications do. It definitely fits into the standard of 60% of what you see is editorial with 40% of advertising, because of course magazines have to make money. But aside from that, it doesn't seem to follow any other standards. It's very much about meaty articles, very long interviews, often celebrities interviewing other celebrities. It always feels a bit more real, and the imagery is often quite visceral, very bold, or simply controversial. For instance, in 2015, the December/January issue featured three covers of Kylie Jenner, and one of them showed the reality TV star seated in a gold wheelchair. So it's definitely not a title that's immune to criticism or controversy. So before we finally get into this cover story, thank you for bearing with me. I wanted to share some words published in an interview from a 2015 piece called Instant Gratification from Interview, and it reads, "If we are indebted to anyone for the constant refreshing, the constant peeping and discussion of celeb selfies, of fabulous lives and intimate details that find their way into public and private discourse, it's probably Andy Warhol. And it is probably he, the founder of Interview, whom we have to thank for perfecting Instagram before Instagram. His tremendous output of diaristic analog selfies and portraits, either meticulously constructed or caught on the fly with his trusty Polaroid camera, are mythic studies of glamour, sexuality, and the precarious gap between persona and the self." I think those words are so accurate about the influence of Warhol on all of us, because no matter how much we criticize, most of us have fallen for that Instagram perfection. We often expect it from others, like Rihanna, and most often we expect it from ourselves in the form of reducing ourselves to filtered versions that we feel will be more pleasing to our friends and family or followers. Perhaps that's a part of the reason for the negative comments around Rihanna's cover. People just want the filtered version. They don't want anything gritty. They don't want art. Anyway, let's get into the cover finally. Rihanna is on the cover of the spring issue, number 554, and the background is a very muted sandy shade with the Interview logo in a vibrant lipstick red shade. Rihanna is wearing a white Dior shirt and a custom Sarah Sokol hat that looks like a nun's habit. It looks like a white pillbox hat that's had a black scarf attached to it, and it's as if Rihanna is wearing a kind of snood. You know those scarves that you put over your head instead of wrapping around it? So it actually covers your neck and then you bring it up over your head. So kind of like a shawl that's attached to a scarf, that kind of thing. The Dior shirt is draped open to show a very glossy décolletage, but the most striking thing about the image has to be the makeup by Yadim. For me, this is Rihanna almost doing drag makeup, and Yadim has made her face super angular. He's exaggerated her already shapely lips with a sticky glossy red. He used my favorite Fenty Stunner lip paint in the shade Uncensored, and then topped that with the Fenty Gloss Bomb Cream in Fruit Snacks. On the eyes, we see this kind of watercolor effect in shades of silvery blue, but there's no information on the colors that Yadim used as yet, so I'm guessing that perhaps he didn't use Fenty for that part. The eyes are framed by pencil-thin brows, which we've definitely seen Rihanna do before, most notably for the September 2018 British Vogue cover. So there's nothing massively new, but it is very striking. I'm guessing the reason the red and the blue are so striking is because she's wearing that kind of take on a nun's costume, if you like, with the black and white. Aside from Yadim on makeup and Mel Ottenberg on styling, when it comes to the rest of the team, we've got Rihanna's usual, Yusuf on hair. For nails, it's Kim Truong, and the photographer is my favourite, Nadia Lee Cohen. If you don't know Nadia's work, I'll just give you a little brief hint of her style. She's someone who had a very quiet upbringing in the English countryside before moving to Los Angeles in search of the Hollywood scenery that inspired her as a child. And when I read that myself, I just thought, wow, she's actually quite similar to Warhol in the sense of that imagination running wild as a child. And once you're able, you kind of leave your small town and go to somewhere that's seemingly more glamorous. I think based on Nadia's past work, which I would strongly urge you to check out, by the way, her book Women is one of my favorite books. I really think that it's Nadia who played a huge role in how this cover story turned out. So I'm hoping over the next few days we learn a little bit more about who was the creative director here, because for me, it just oozes Nadia's style. Nadia is definitely someone who plays with femininity and images of beauty. Her signature style is very much character driven. You'll see her work and you'll kind of know there's a story behind that person. And a lot of her influences are often found in the past, perhaps print titles from the 60s and 70s. We saw this late last year when Skims unveiled the Christmas holiday collection shot by Cohen. It soon emerged that the inspiration for it was an issue of Louis magazine from November 1966. And we're seeing that again with this Rihanna story, as several social media accounts are comparing the new cover to an image taken from a very obscure adult religious magazine called Pew Boy, released in 1961. Now, there's no way I would even be talking about this if I hadn't tried to research this actual magazine. And at this point in time, I've spent hours on Google, Tumblr, Reddit, Instagram, everything I can think of, Pinterest too. I cannot find any evidence of this being an actual, factual, existing magazine. I cannot find evidence if there was ever a real magazine called Pew Boy. My brain first went to Playboy. Was it a play on that? Did somebody just mock up this cover based on Playboy, but aimed at religious people who still wanted to see some porn? I really couldn't tell you. I'm still trying to work it out. It's almost as if it was just a mock-up. It was just a one image thing, because I've tried to find the photographer, but all I've managed to find were similar examples by a Japanese artist from the 1970s called Kei Hiraga. And it seems like that artist was inspired by this Pew Boy image. If you know where this image came from, please let me know, no matter how simple or complicated it is, because it's driving me crazy. I've really put time and effort into trying to find out, and to come up with nothing is very strange. There's almost always going to be a way to find out the origin of an image if you have the time, and I really have given it some time. So hit me up in the DMs at Beauty Me Podcast if you know where this image came from. And again, if you're wondering what I'm talking about, be sure to check out the blog link that I save in the show notes so you can see all the images I'm talking about. And I'll definitely be including this one in the video that I make. So It's time to look at the backlash around this Rihanna image. And I think it really comes in two forms. The first, most overriding issue is the use of clothing to mimic that of a Christian or Roman Catholic nun. If you don't know, a nun is a woman who has decided to devote her life to religious service and contemplation, much like a monk, which is the male alternative. But by the way, if like me, you're unsure of the terminology, Christianity is the religion and Roman Catholicism is one of three major branches of Christianity. So there have been thousands of comments about this image. I think within the first hour, there are about 3,500 comments on Instagram once Interview Magazine posted the cover image, and many of them were just very much disgust and disbelief. And it wasn't just from Christians. There were comments from Muslims who said they found the cover disrespectful, and comments from those who professed to have no religion but also did not believe that any religion should be mocked. One comment that brought up the concept of art was from someone called @Gleambase, who said, "Seriously, but this is so disrespectful towards the Catholic and Christian community. We can use art in so many different forms, but why you choose to disrespect God? I mean, if you are atheist, at least have some sense of respect towards humanity. This is not cool." I think it's interesting that person used the word humanity there, because I'm just going to say, based on my experience, religion is not perfect. I don't believe religion is exempt from discussion or interpretations when it comes to artists, because religion itself has been interpreted many times. And perhaps that's the reason why it's so divisive, because there's no one religion, is there? This doesn't mean that I don't have respect for your practice or anyone practicing religion. I don't at all. I think it's probably something very beautiful for many people. But I do have to admit, I'm not attached to any of these beliefs. And I have to say that I would rather the entire world actually started to care for every member of humanity than shouted about who is more holy. But anyway, that religious backlash to this one picture of Rihanna was just one aspect of the negativity, as I said. The other aspect, which I have way less time for, is the fact that Rihanna just doesn't look as pretty or beautiful as her audience usually expects. I think these comments truly wind me up, because they really undermine not only what it is to be an artist, but essentially what it is to be a woman. It's like, why can you not do what you want when it comes to your body? Many of these comments, the negative ones, seem to come from female fans, and I'd love to know what they look like on a day-to-day basis. You know, are they churning out killer photo shoots? I doubt it. But they're consistently telling her, "This ain't right, Riri. Girl, you're not looking your best." But why should her best have to mean perfection? And why is her best, like, I'm guessing her best is better than your best. I mean, if you're going to criticize Rihanna, you're essentially criticizing any woman's right to do whatever she likes with her image. And if you're criticizing Rihanna for these images and then you're spending 20 minutes editing your own images for Instagram, then I think maybe, you know, just stop typing for a second. Have a think. Stop being so reactive. Speaking of reactive, I will share a couple of the negative comments here. I can't pronounce this name, but it's spelled W-W-E-Y-E-K. They said, "Damn, Ri, honestly, this is not your best photo session." Ibuka underscore the first said, "This is sickening," all in caps, and then they follow that with the vomit emoji. Finally, Zodiac.hair said, "I love me some Riri, but honestly, this photo shoot is giving American Horror Story, not feeling it at all." I have to say that last comment from Zodiac.hair made me laugh, because American Horror Story is one of my favorite shows. So I see no shade there. It's a show that's high drama, lots of horror, and very glamorous. Probably, again, similar to the work of Nadia Lee Cohen. So it's an aesthetic, and I get it. Not everybody is there for ugliness, because that's what it is. I think the word ugly really comes into play here. When you are willing to play with your image, it means you might be okay with looking a bit ugly, looking less pretty. I've mentioned that before in the podcast with guests like Aoife Cullen, who is an amazing makeup artist, Be Sweet. Not everyone is concerned with looking pretty for you. Like, I wish people would understand that. Rihanna certainly doesn't need to get dressed for us. She has plenty of other things to do, money to be made, children to be raised. She's been churning out some amazing looks just on the daily lately, by the way. But even if you don't like how she dresses, what does it matter to you? She's playing with her image, which is something many of your favorites can only dream of, because many of these icons of music or these actresses, they are signing contracts that mean they can only wear this designer for this much time. They're signing things saying they won't change their appearance, or they will change their appearance in order to be more successful. Perhaps it's Rihanna's time to see herself as art, and why shouldn't she? She is literally someone who spends her entire life being followed and copied and questioned. Why shouldn't she take advantage of that attention and give us something to talk about? I did decide to ask my Instagram friends and followers what they thought of the cover on my stories, and the overriding response was literally one word: love. So many people just commented saying love. One comment in particular from Jory Socentric said, "It's provocative, as magazine covers sometimes are. It's very Cindy Sherman, who is super cool." Thank you, Jory Socentric, because I couldn't agree more. Cindy Sherman is super cool. She's an artist who has been playing with her image through makeup and prosthetics since the 1970s. And more recently, as technology has advanced, she's used editing software. Cindy Sherman is easily one of the reasons that I became a photographer, 100%. And you can also see her influence in Nadia Lee Cohen's work too. Another comment came from former guest and my friend Florence Adepaju, and she said, "It's a strong enough beauty look without the religious elements, in my opinion." And again, I fully agree with that comment, because this Rihanna story did not need the nun-like costume. Yes, the team had fun. Yes, they knew it was going to cause this controversy and probably a record amount of comments, but was the outfit necessary? I doubt it. Rihanna sells covers whatever she's wearing. In fact, she sells covers even when she's naked. She did a topless cover for Louis back in 2014, but it's that cover that's actually made me think, well, yeah, maybe she is trying to be provocative, because if you've already taken your top off 10 years ago, perhaps the only way to outdo yourself and become more provocative is to wear a nun's habit. So I'm not judging Rihanna at all. I'm guessing she's in a provocative mood. By the way, whenever I say provocative, I think of that Kanye.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
But it does, right? Like, it's so provocative, this cover. But way before Rihanna, we had Madonna. Now, Madonna is someone I've been thinking about dedicating time and research to for a while, because I feel like the 80s are about to take over from the 90s when it comes to global style trends. We've been loving the 90s for years, and I think Madonna is probably the most recognizable icon of that era and beyond, actually. There are many times that Madonna has got the general public talking. But back in 1989, when she released the video for the song Like a Prayer, that was probably one of her most outrageous moments. When taken at face value, the song Like a Prayer became huge because it appeared to be about a young woman's love for God, the only male figure in her life. But the way the video brought the song to life upset a lot of people. Directed by Mary Lambert, the video shows Madonna witnessing a white woman being murdered by a group of white men, and shows the subsequent arrest of a black man for the crime. Interspersed with all that action, we see a black saint, burning crosses, and Catholic symbolism that resulted in the Vatican condemning the video, and religious groups urging the general public to boycott Pepsi because the brand used the song in one of its commercials. Pepsi later went on to cancel its contract with Madonna, and it was just a huge story at the time. And it's funny because looking at it now, while there are so many similarities between Madonna and Rihanna, doesn't it feel like Madonna took way more of a risk? Perhaps it's because it was a music video, you know, that's probably at least 3 minutes long and people were watching over and over and they were just getting irate and reacting. Whereas Rihanna, it's not even the entire shoot. It's just one image that appeared on the cover. And I think, you know, there's that word context. Because again, I don't really think Interview magazine is a magazine that's read by the general public, in inverted commas. I really think Interview Magazine is for people that are into art, they're into music, but they actually want a bit more than just kind of glossy articles. I think they want to know about designers and musicians, and I think they want to know about history. They're not just buying the latest issue of whatever glossy magazine. So I think Interview knew that this cover was going to create outrage. And out of that, they may well get some new readers. If they don't get new readers, at the very least, they will at least be getting a hell of a lot of traffic to their website to read this article. Because unlike other online titles, you can actually read this article without a paywall. So I'm here for that. Thank you, Interview, because there's nothing worse than when you want to read something and it's like, sign up here. So I will leave a link also to the article for you, of course, in the show notes, so you can read the whole thing. Because before I started this, I was like, shall I read the whole article and then write this script? But I thought, because I'm talking about the imagery, I just didn't want to go there. I didn't want to say, but then she says this in the article. I will absolutely read it now that I'm almost done recording. But for me, I really wanted to look at this as an episode where I look at someone who is evolving before our eyes. She's what, 37? And her style is evolving. I feel that Rihanna, like Madonna at her peak, seems to feel free enough to transform her look without thinking about the public's reaction, or at least not caring about it. I think you literally have to separate yourself from other people's opinions to really stand out in this world. I don't think she's sitting there looking at all the Instagram comments of people tearing her apart. And I think a lot of people could learn from that. So before I go on the subject of comments, I just wanted to share these words that are from a Mel Ottenberg interview that he did for System Magazine's issue number 22. In the interview, he's asked about how he feels when he's on the receiving end of hostile feedback around his work for Interview. And he replies, honestly, right now, if you look at my Instagram, there's hundreds of really negative comments about me and my work. And that's fine. I love it when people love what we're doing, but sometimes we also think it's hysterical when no one likes what we're doing. I don't take offense when someone doesn't like what I do, and I don't hate everyone who's hating on me. And I think that's the key to all this. There's a lot of hate out there. If you want to hate, go ahead and hate. Art is meant to provoke. For some, art is meant to glorify something. And by the way, there is a lot of religious art out there. It really does, you know, it exists. Art has often been used to tell a story, but it's not always going to be the story that we want to hear. It's not always going to be a story that's pleasant to our ears. Art can tell us stories of the worst violence, the worst racism, the worst misogyny. More often, art is meant to make you think. And I think as long as you are in tune with your own mind, that is an okay place to be. Hate is never going to make you feel great. Sorry, I didn't mean for that to rhyme, but I mean it. We don't need to be so reactive. And in fact, there's probably other more important things that we could be reactive about. But anyway, it's time for me to wind it up. As already mentioned, I'm going to leave you a link to a good old-fashioned blog post where I'm going to share so much imagery of everything that I've mentioned today so that you have some visuals to support the episode. And of course, I'm going to be making a video about this cover. So you'll find that on the Beauty Me podcast Instagram or my TikTok at Charisse Kenyon. Anyway, it's finally it for the week. Please remember my DMs are always open if you want to talk about anything beauty related. I really am here to listen. I'm not just here to talk at you. So again, find me on Instagram at BeautyMePodcast, or you can find me on Threads at Charisse_Kenyon, or you can email BeautyMePodcast@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this episode in any way, do please share it with a friend, and please, please, please do leave a rating on Spotify or a review anywhere else that you like to listen. It makes a huge difference to me. Thank you so much for being here. I'll see you next time.